From The Conversation, this is Politics with Michelle Grattan, a podcast where Michelle discusses the issues of the day with The Conversation's politics team.
Hi, my name's Amanda Dunn. I'm the Politics and Society Editor for The Conversation, and I'm speaking with Michelle Grattan. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Amanda.
Michelle, the news this week has been dominated by the Taliban taking control in Afghanistan once again. And we've had some very troubling scenes of desperate Afghans trying to escape the country. The future for Afghan women and girls in particular looks worrying. And after our 20-year involvement there, we have to ask, was it all for nothing?
I think that's a question that a lot of people are asking. I guess you'd say that while our forces were there, we did some good, and of course a generation of girls had a better start, had a better life. But it does look now that another dark time is going to come, and that the next generation of girls will not have those sorts of opportunities. They're very likely, regardless of what the Taliban is now saying, to be plunged back into a life of confinement and lack of opportunity, lack of self-determination as to what they do.
The government has said that Afghans living in Australia on temporary protection visas will not be forced to return home, which seems, you know, the very least we could do in such a humanitarian crisis.
We have no plans to be returning people back to those places where there is such terrible unrest, and they'll be able to remain here under those circumstances under the visas they're currently on.
Scott Morrison has also made another announcement today about taking more Afghans, hasn't he?
Yes, there are two components here. Firstly, the government has announced 3,000 humanitarian places for Afghan people. Now, this is within the existing refugee program, and this will focus on family members of Australians, on people who are persecuted, women and girls, and other vulnerable groups. But the other part of this issue is that there are well over 4,000 Afghans here at the moment on temporary protection visas. Now, overwhelmingly, these are people who came by boat, and the government is taking a very hard line on them. As you say, yesterday they were saying, well, they won't be sent back to Afghanistan at this stage. Well, obviously, that would be impossible anyway in the circumstances. But today, the Prime Minister said very bluntly that they would not be given permanent residence because they'd come the wrong way. In other words, they'd arrived by boat.
I also confirm that those who are IMAs, those who have not come to Australia the right way and are on temporary visas in Australia, they will not be offered permanent residence in Australia. That will not change. I want to be very clear about that. I want to send a very clear message to people smugglers in the region that nothing's changed. I will not give you a product to sell and take advantage of people's misery.
So this is a very, very tough line in a situation where many people are saying that this cohort should be given the opportunity of permanent residence.
Yes, and Anthony Albanese is one of those, correct? That he's taking a more...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And remember that these people have been here many, many years because the boat arrival stopped a very long time ago, and therefore they're very settled into the Australian way of life. And I think that the government will be under criticism for not taking a more humanitarian approach to them, given that it'll never be possible to send them back to Afghanistan. So really, you're putting them in a limbo status that's not practical and not decent, frankly.
Mm. And just coming back to COVID, Michelle, as we always seem to do at the moment, the situation on the eastern seaboard seems to be getting worse, unfortunately. New South Wales numbers are skyrocketing, and Victoria's gone into an even harder lockdown to stop the same happening here. Meanwhile, the Northern Territory and the ACT are also in lockdown to stem outbreaks, and the New South Wales outbreak has made its way across to New Zealand. Is there anything more the government could or should be doing at the moment?
It can only try and hasten the vaccination process as much as it can. Of course, it got some extra doses of Pfizer from Poland, of all places, in the last few days. We weren't able to get them from America, apparently. But anyway, they've arrived and they're being sent out, especially to the areas of Sydney much in need. What we did find this week was that the virus is spreading increasingly into those Indigenous communities in western New South Wales, and there are some military teams being sent urgently to those areas to vaccinate people, where the vaccination rate at the moment is lower than in the general community, and certainly a lot lower than it should be. So it's really filling in these gaps in the vaccination program and accelerating it as much as possible. There's, of course, debate about whether the lockdown in New South Wales is hard enough. It's extended from last weekend into regional New South Wales, the whole state. But there is still debate about whether in Sydney you need tougher restrictions. You have, of course, in Melbourne a curfew, which they don't have in Sydney.
Mm. And there continue to be divisions between the states and the federal government too about how and when we might eventually emerge from this, aren't there? Even though, you know, that feels a long way off just at the moment.
Well, it certainly does. But you're right, some premiers are harder on this than others. Notably, Mark McGowan in Western Australia is making it clear that he's going to minimise the danger from COVID, whatever methods and timetables are needed. I think that the lesson from the start of this outbreak has been that the states will go their own way, and just as they have done all the way through, that will be continued when finally we see the exit in sight, or as the Prime Minister likes to say, the light at the end of the tunnel. It's turning out to be a very, very long tunnel.
Yes, it certainly is. All right, great to talk to you as always, Michelle. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Amanda.
Our theme music is by Blue Dot Sessions. You can find more podcasts from The Conversation on our website at theconversation.com.